Okay, back to the electricity story. But one more detail before we continue with the electricity. And that is, halachically, what happens if you have a splinter on Shabbos? Now, we learned that if it's for sure going to bleed when you take it out, you're not allowed to. If it might bleed, it might not bleed, then it's not a psik resha, and it's ain't a miskaven, unintentional, and therefore we learned that you'd be able to take it out. Now the question is, sometimes people want to sterilize a needle, so you have a pin. So because of the, normally a pin that you sew with, a needle, is muks on Shabbos. But if you want to do something permissible with it, you're allowed to. So therefore what happens technically, if somebody wants to take out a splinter on Shabbos, but it's not deep, so it's not for sure going to bleed. But they want to sterilize the needle first. But you can't sterilize the needle on a fire on Shabbos, because if it turns red hot, that's cooking. And also the avada, you're creating, making something red hot, you're actually creating a fire on Shabbos. So that you can do. You can put an alcohol on it, maybe to sterilize or whatever, but you couldn't just make it red hot.
Rabbi, you want to explain something about the coconut and the hammer and coconut, breaking a coconut and
shattering? A coconut, hammer, coconut? What is that supposed to
be? Like breaking. You want the hammer, you want the juice.
That was last time. You're right. We were supposed to say we didn't explain it. Okay. We really did explain it, but not completely. A hammer is mukhs on Shabbos. And a screwdriver is muks on Shabbos. By the way, contrary to what people always use the word, it's muks on Shabbos. Muks is not a malach. Muks is rabbinic, that you're not allowed to move certain objects. You're not allowed to move certain objects. When we learn muks, we'll learn the whole history of muks, and there's a lot of various details. Now, there's certain things of muks that are completely not movable on Shabbos, the normal way of moving it. And there are other things in Shabbos that the Chachamim said you can move it if either you need the place it's on or you want to do something permissible with it. Then it's not muktza. Okay? But let's say it's in the backyard and your affair is going to get stolen or ruined in the backyard, you're not allowed to bring it in. Okay? That muksa is called keli shemalachto le'iser, a vessel keli, whose primary purpose shemalachto. Its primary purpose is le'iser, for something forbidden. I.e., a needle. We just said, what's a needle made for? To sew. So therefore, a needle, because its primary use is to sew, so a needle is muksa on Shabbos. A pen is primarily made to write, which is forbidden on Shabbos, right? Therefore, a pen is called keli shemalachte le'isr. Hammer is made for construction. Screwdriver is made for construction. Okay? So therefore, they're what's called keli shemalachte le'isr, a vessel whose primary use is for something forbidden. But the halacha is, let's say somebody left a hammer on the dining room table or a pen on the dining room table. And it's Friday night, you need to set the table, you know, you need to put stuff in the plates, whatever. So you're allowed to pick it up and put it away. No, you can pick it up regularly like this. This is made to record. Yeah, so there's a keli shemalachta list. You're not allowed to record on Shabbos. So somebody left this thing on the table on Shabbos and I need the place. If I don't need the place, I'm not allowed to move it. Let's say it's at the other end of the table and I'm only using this end of the table, then I can't move this. But if I need the place it's on, I can pick it up with my hand. And not only, I don't even have to drop it as soon as it leaves the table. I can hold it in my hand and put it back where it belongs. 1 second. That's keli shemalachta lisa. Now, the second way you're allowed to move it, if I want to do something permissible with this, and as Poskim write, there's nothing else available that's not muksa, or nothing that's usable as well. Okay? So what? Let's take a hammer and a screw, or a needle, we just said. You want to take out a splinter, you're allowed to take out a splinter if it's not going to bleed. Correct? So even though a needle is primarily used for sewing, which is biblically forbidden on Shabbos, But if I want to do something permissible with a needle, I would be allowed to move it on Shabbos. A hammer is made for construction. Construction is forbidden on Shabbos. Same thing with a screwdriver. Okay? So therefore, a hammer is called keli shemalachte le'isr. Hammer and screwdriver, same thing in this din, right? So if it's on the table, I need the place. I can pick it up in my hand normally and just move it away somewhere. Now, what happens if I want to do something permissible with the hammer? I.e., I want to crack open a nut. Okay? Or I want to crack open a coconut. Right? Now, opening a coconut on Shabbos is allowed. It's a food. There's no letters. You know, you can crack open a coconut on Shabbos. But what happens, the way I want to open the coconut is with a hammer and a chisel or a hammer and a screwdriver. So then I'm allowed to use a hammer. I'm allowed to take a hammer and a screwdriver, especially if there's nothing else that I could use instead. And I could crack open a coconut. Okay? What? That's a different story. That's a different type of muksa. That's called muksa machen chsar and kifs. For a big loss of money, that's taka muksa completely. You can't move that for any reason. But a hammer, you're not only going to use for construction. A hammer, you'll use for anything. Or for instance, I'll give you another example. You have a bag of food. Okay, bag of food you're allowed to open on Shabbos as long as you don't, remember, we learned to separate where it's glued and you don't rip letters. Now, I have a bag of food. I want to open it on Shabbos. Now, if I tear it, it's not going to work so well. Plus, you have less control. So when you tear, I might end up tearing letters. So logically, I'm allowed to take a scissors because scissors cut straight and even and you won't cut letters. I'm allowed to take scissors, cut the package open, and use it on Shabbos. So that's the story with the hammer and the coconut. And yes?
The coconut, sometimes, you know, you take a screwdriver and poke it in the hole so you can get the milk out without opening the whole coconut.
You could do that also.
Is that not creating like a cleat?
No, you're just taking out part. What?
How about a pot of flour on the table on Shabbos? Okay, so you're allowed to move it.
Flowers?
A pot of flour with the soil.
It was.
In soil? No, in soil you can't.
At all?
A plant, a growing plant, is muktzeh on Shabbos. Completely muktzeh. You can't move it at all. Cut flowers are not muktzeh on Shabbos at all. Now, you can't put flowers into water on Shabbos for the first time. Meaning, if the flowers were now not in water, you can't put them into water. So if somebody comes to your house on Shabbos and brings you a bouquet, a bunch of roses, Shabbos afternoon, so you're allowed to put it into a vase, a vase, whichever way you want to pronounce it. You can put it on into a glass, a plastic vase on the table, but you can't put water into it.
If there is a plant in a sword on a table,
it's muksa. Yeah.
Oh, what do you think it's a tool or completely muksa?
It's
completely muksa. Now, 1 second. Muksa, you can move not directly. In other words, if you want to kick it off the table, I don't suggest you do it because... No, you can't. No, that like that. You can move it with an elbow. You can move it to the side with an elbow.
What about backhanded?
Not such... backhanded is not so uncommon. It's better not to. No, I said, we're not learning muksa now. I'm just saying, just to answer the question about the coconut with the hammer and the screwdriver.
Thank you.
What?
If somebody has lofters on the table...
Lofters?
Lofters.
Leichter, yeah.
Leichter.
No.
Leichter.
Candlesticks.
A Leichter.
Candlesticks.
Big bossy.
Okay. And then, let's say Shabbos morning, you had a lot of guests. Okay. And meanwhile, it's on the table over there. Can you move it to a different place?
No.
And if you had a sitter over there, that there's some people that put something like a permissible over there.
On the tray or on the table?
On the tray.
According to the Alter Rebbe, it's no good. Other poskim say it's good. What?
In the needle case, can you put it in the fire for like 3-4 seconds? It doesn't give it hot. It just sterilizes it.
Yeah, but there is a din in halacha that you can't do something. Like, let's say it takes half an hour to cook something. Yeah? I want to leave it there for 5 minutes just to warm up. So I'm not cooking it. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to, because if no matter how much time you leave it, it can come cook, you're not allowed to do it even there for a minute. Why? Because we're afraid you're going to come and cook it. And it's biblically, by the way. If you make a needle red hot, it's biblical kindling of fire. What? So put an alcohol. I said that you could do, but you can't. But Leichter is completely muksa. You can't move it for any reason. I said there are certain things which are completely muksa. You can't move them for any reason. And there are certain types of things you can move if you need the place, if it's something permissible. No, because the tray, if you have a siddur on it, is a basis for muksa and non-muksa. But the Alter Rebbe hold you can, because, not only the Alter Rebbe, a lot of poskim hold you can. Because the tray is not made for that, to put a siddur on. A table is made to put a siddur and leichter, and then you can move the table. What?
The flowers in the water, you can move it.
Yes. Okay. With your hands.
Just because you want the space, or you want to just...
No, just...
Anyway. Doesn't matter.
You want to give them to your mother-in-law as a present.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, next. Now, sometimes people wear clothes that cause static, you know, synthetic materials. So that, even though it might cause sparks, so you're allowed to do it. Number one, it's not a psikresh. It's not for sure going to happen. So it might not. And you're definitely not intending to create sparks. So that you would be allowed to do it. Now, in addition to what we spoke about electricity, the various different opinions, why electricity is forbidden on Shabbos. In other words, there is no question that electricity is forbidden on Shabbos. It's a given. The only question, halacha, why is it forbidden? So we discussed, some opinions say because you're creating sparks, which is fire. Some people say it's called construction boina, because you're creating a circuit.
Current.
Huh? A current, yeah. And then when you pull it, unplug it, or then you're also disconnecting, extinguishing a fire. By the way, it's interesting because, and they bring this down in halacha. What happens if you have, let's say, a lamp that's plugged in? It's not on, though. Am I allowed to just pull out the plug? Because seemingly I'm not doing anything. Huh? So the truth of the matter is, and they bring it, I've seen it brought down in halacha, that you really shouldn't do it. Because they tell you, it's interesting, the electric company will tell you that if you leave in plugged in appliances, even if they're off, they still take electricity. It's interesting. I heard this from the electric company, by the way, and then I realized, and then there's an, I mean, I saw it brought down this farm also. But that's not for sure going to happen. It's not a secret. No, but that's the reason why it's drawing current. They say if you leave in an appliance, it takes very little electricity. It's very little compared to when it's on. But nevertheless, it still takes electricity even if it's not on. So therefore, when you're pulling it out, you're actually extinguishing that little bit of electricity that's going through the thing. As little as it is. What?
I mean, what is the issue with these automatic things that turn the light on? You know, like automatic timers.
You didn't know what timers are? I thought you were talking about Siri, Alexa.
When you're a scientist, little things, you know.
These are like 40 years ago.
Are you allowed to use timers on Shabbos? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Thank you. The Moshe Weinstein holds, you can only use timers for lights and air conditioning. That's it. Everybody disagrees with him. His thing is like this, because people don't know. You know, lights people know is on the timer. Air conditioning people know is on the timer. You're in California, right? You have your lawn, and the sprinklers go on automatically every morning, right? So he, according to the Moshe, not allowed to do it, because people think you're watering your lawn on Shabbos. Most poskim disagree, and that's the way everybody holds today, that the fact is, everybody knows today, in California, you walk down, you see the sprinklers on, everybody knows it's on the timer.
Nobody's watering
Nobody's watering the hose. Okay, see, sometimes with a hose, you see people doing it. But I'm saying, when you have the sprinklers on, everybody knows it on the timer.
Yeah.
Pool pump
also. Huh?
Pool pump.
Pool pump, whatever it is, everybody knows. So today, the pearl, the makel on all timers except?
Cooking.
Huh? Cooking.
The TV.
TV?
Cooking account?
No. In other words, you can set your coffee maker before Shabbos, right? That it goes on, let's say you wake up Shabbos morning, you want to daven 4:55, Shachris. So you're going to wake up, you want to wake up 4:30, okay, and have a coffee. So you set it before Shabbos, that 4 o'clock the coffee maker goes on, that 4:30 you have a cup of coffee. That everybody's, they don't even write why. They all write, you're not allowed to. That's it. No, not cooking. So you can't put a stove, 1 second. You can't put a stove. They have now a stove. You can put on timers, right? It goes on late. You're not, Yom Tov, you could do it, not Shabbos.
The cholin's on the timer before Shabbos to turn off like...
Oh, so you can have a timer turning off.
Right.
Let's say you set your oven... Let's say you're going to have Friday night one hot food, yeah? And you're going to be finished eating 10 o'clock, okay? So you can't turn on the oven at 9 to make the food hot. Because then you're cooking with a timer. That you can't. But if somebody makes the timer to go off at 10, then you're not cooking. You're just closing the timer. You're closing the oven. That you're allowed to do.
So shut down you can do.
What?
You can shut down.
Yeah. Yeah.